As we open our Sunday school time, which has extended to the morning worship, which is true. So, we'll look to the Lord in prayer, and God help us. Our Father and God, we look to you with understanding that you are exactly forever who you are. So we're looking for you to deal with us, Spirit of God, all that Christ has made possible. That Father, for you to be honored. So deal with us. Thank you very much. The children downstairs, the nursery, God, help them. Help us. In Christ's name, amen. It is the Lord's Day, but it is also a very special day, and in the sense that it is a special Sunday, because it is Veterans Day, but not just regular Veterans Day. It's a very special Veterans Day. And 100 years ago, the armistice was signed. That is, the First World War ended, 1918. And in the process of that, they had Armistice Day, the ending of the war. And that war ended, and the armistice was signed and all of that. On November 11th, at 11 a.m., November 11th, 11 a.m., on the 11th day of the month. 11, 11, 11. And it falls just this day. 100 years ago, exactly, at 11 o'clock, it was signed. That's why it's very, very special. Now, and having said that, and keeping that in mind, and remember now in the going back just to remind yourself that, if you would, in the First World War, the 1914-1918, 53,500 casualties, over 2 million men landed on the coast of France. And in the process of that, 53,500 casualties, and it was Armistice Day. In 1954, President Eisenhower changed it to Veterans Day to honor all servicemen. Now, in the process of that, keeping that in mind, so during the First World War, remember, all the European nations were in upheaval, and in the process, the groups, just like our world today, migration, all of this happening, and we have in our own country cultures, groups that are totally opposed to what we're doing. And we have a great mixture, a great movement taking place all over the world, in Europe especially, in that more so. Now, having said that, so now, in the process of that, the assassination of the Archduke of Austria, when he was assassinated on June 28th, 1914, I should say, June 28th, 1914. That was the match that lit the powder keg for the war. All kinds of disruption, uneasiness, countries, European countries, and that started the war. Wow. That was the trigger, if you would. Now, having said that little bit, so here's Armistice Day and now Veterans Day. And veterans, as a little adjective, means old. And then add to the old, experienced, a long experienced veterans. And if you had to go to some difficulty or some battlefield, you would want to go, if you could, with a veteran. You want somebody that's been involved. You want somebody that knows their stuff. You don't want to go with all new people. Nope, you want somebody that knows what's going on. Veterans. Now, so therefore, you got a little bit about veterans and thinking, going back to schools years ago, missions. One of the things that made Bible school, that kind of thing, helpful, more productive, was that they took people that were from the mission field, years in the mission field, and would bring them back, and they would become instructors. And so I had some, you have some maybe. Men who had been on the battlefield. So when they read a verse, the verse was very real to them. They lived that verse. They lived through it. And boy, the whole lessons were all different because they were real. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, if you would. So therefore, we want to be very mindful of Veterans Day, that men and women that paid the price for us to be able to have this republic, not a democracy, for this republic of these United States of America, one nation under God, one nation under God, indivisible, cannot be divided, wasn't supposed to be, with liberty and justice for all. Now, and having said that, and therefore, what is that doing? What were they doing? We're all resting, the whole country is resting on the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution of these United States. What is that resting on? It's resting on God and His Word. That's what makes us uniquely different. The Constitution and Declaration is no good if you don't believe in God and won't honor Him. Isn't going to go anywhere. It doesn't mean a thing. So unbelievers, people that don't believe. But that's why we can change the First Amendment, the Second Amendment, and all of that stuff and do that. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, so that gives us the right and freedom. They paid a price for us to worship God, to look to God, freedom to do so. And therefore, we're able to exercise a little more generally and publicly. A wonderful what? A warring the good warfare in 1 Timothy. Fighting the good fight or the good combat. Combating the good combat in Timothy 6. 1 Timothy 6. So God, here we are looking and we're opening God's word. We have freedom to do so because of what happened. And in the process, knowing that the world system and our old nature, as we shared in Sunday school, loves darkness. But God, you want light to shine in the darkness, and that's what you want. And the heart of the people need to look to you, and that's what we have freedom to do because of men and women that paid the price for us to have that freedom. Now, therefore, over with me, please, to Isaiah chapter 3. Isaiah chapter 3. And in Isaiah chapter 3, keeping in mind, and just to give you another little bit in the light of the First World War, President Woodrow Wilson was president, 28th president, United States. And, by the way, he was a teacher at Wesleyan in 1890. I knew that would help you. Now, but, he was president during that war. Now, and therefore, I'm going to give you a quote from him that's helpful in where we're going. Now, I would a great deal rather lose in a cause I know will someday triumph, then in triumph rather than to triumph in a cause I know will someday lose. I would rather be losing now to win than professing to be in a winning side and end up losing. Now, that's Woodrow Wilson, First World War. Now, here's Isaiah chapter 3. And we want to go there to Israel, the 10 tribes in the north in particular, at this point. And in chapter 3, we have an interesting scenario. Verse 1, "Behold, the Lord of hosts, doth take away from Jerusalem and from Judah the stay and the staff, the whole stay of bread and the whole stay of water. The mighty man, the man of war, and the judge and the prophet and the prudent and the ancient, the old, the captain of the 50, the honorable man, and the counselor, and the cunning artificer, skilled craftsman, and the eloquent oracle, the guy that can speak. And I will give children to be their princes, and babes shall rule over them. And the people shall be oppressed, every one by another, and every one by his neighbor. The child shall behave himself proudly against the ancient, the old, the base, the low, against the honorable." Now, God, what did you do? All of the things that you need to make a society work, the people, the veterans, the old, the people that have gone through whatever, if anyone knows how not to do things, it's the people that have lived through them and discovered how not to do them. But the young people, people coming up, they don't pay attention to the old people. That's the same with Rehoboam, remember. He didn't want to pay attention. The old people said, listen to us. I didn't want to listen to them. Listen to the young guys, the new crowd. But the new crowd doesn't know anything. And they're going to go and repeat the same disaster that happened yesterday because they haven't learned a thing. So now, what are you going to do? What is Israel? Israel is a country now where babies and people are in power, military, political, educational, social, that aren't fit to be there. And they're leading Israel. And God has allowed all of the people that you should have to disappear. And they're all gone. That's Israel. Now, God, you let that happen, and Israel, the Assyrian captivity is going to happen, etc. Is anything going to get fixed? No. Is this true in Jeremiah's day? Anything going to get fixed? Nope. Nope. Just going to keep going down. Because you lost a wonderful reason to exist and to honor God. And Israel is not honoring God. Why did our country succeed? And we'll do that at 6 o'clock again. So you understand. Why did Hitler, after Dunkirk, why don't you invade England? England's helpless. But he invades France with his army. Otherwise, he would have taken England out. And there'd be no resources. But he didn't do it. And I'm going to give you a little list of all the different things. God, are you watching over everything? Absolutely. Absolutely. God, you hold. How come Hitler had the atomic bomb, but he never was able to develop it, and we did? Now, who stopped that? Who got in the way of that? Ah, God, you manage history quite well. Now, having said that a little bit, or if you would please, I'm going to give you the opposite of this. God, I want to understand your wonderful person and presence on how you work. Over, if you would please, to 1 John. First John and chapter 2. And in 1 John chapter 2, may I pick up the thought. Remember now, we need people that get experienced and able to be an example and lead us and help us. And if we don't have that, if we don't have that good leadership, we aren't going to succeed. Anyway, no country is, no business is, no military is, not without somebody there that knows what they're doing and how to do it. Now, so here's 1 John and God. Here we are looking at ourselves and our country and history. And you remind us in 1 John chapter 2, verse 1, "My little children, these things I write unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate, a defense attorney, with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous." God, here's the little children are looking to God to grow, to know, and understand. Therefore, as you slide along in the context, verse 12. I'll read verse 11 better. "He that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. I write unto you, little children." We don't want to be the crowd that isn't understanding and learning. We don't want to be that. "On the contrary, I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you." I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven. Been forgiven. Passive. Perfect. They have been forgiven. They are forgiven. Little children. Now, how are you going to go anywhere in the family of God with the Father if there's anything that keeps the relationship out of whack? Now, God, what did you do? Little children understand their sins are forgiven. That means they understand. Think of 1 John 1, chapter 1, verse 8 and verse 10. If we say we have no sin, we make him a liar. We make him a liar. Now, God, here's the sin in our nature, your nature, my nature. What do you know about it? It has been forgiven. It has been forgiven. We're looking at it. But God, you have forgiven it. In your wonderful grace, you have forgiven it. Wow. Think about that. It's real. Our old nature, lousy thoughts, words, deeds. Ugh. But they are forgiven. So little children, that's your starting point. You got to grow and know. Now, and not only little children, but God, every little children are supposed to grow up. Verse 13. "I write unto you, little..." Verse 12 better. "I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven." Forgiven you for his name's sake. Verse 13. "I write unto you, fathers, because you have known him from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one." Now, in the process, so little children have been forgiven, and little children are to grow. Now, and the young men, what are we going to do? We're going to keep growing. And we're going to have to what? Overcome. Wickedness, evil, bad. That's our old nature. We just did that in 6 o'clock, Sunday school. The war. There's war. Enemy. The enemy is everywhere. Everywhere. There's no way. There's no way you won't get away from the enemy. And I need to understand that in order to pursue the battle. Now, in the process of that, God, young men need to be overcoming. So that's why we have to grow and know, and we overcome. That's how we learn. We stumble through this and stumble through that, and you go in the fourth grade and the fifth grade and the whatever, and you keep growing and growing and battling and battling, and that's how you get there. How do you get there? Hebrews 5. By battling, exercise in the war. And you do it. You exercise at 5 years old, all 5 year olds and others, at 10 years old, 10 years old and others, at 20 years old, 20 years old and others, and you keep doing that, all 50 years old and others. You're battling. You're battling all the different stuff, coming flack, coming and going, and fashions flack, and you're setting your course, and you learn to go straight when all would like you to go crooked. Now, having said that, so here's the young man have to overcome. And if you don't overcome, you aren't going to go anywhere. So you need to be able to overcome to win. And again, perfect, to be overcomers. To be overcomers, overcoming the strong and all of that. And you're going to be able to overcome in verse 14. I have written unto you, fathers, because you have known him from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. So that's what you... Now, so in all the battles, you have to overcome. You have to overcome. That's what you're going to do. Either you overcome or you get overcomed. You lose it. So you got to be winning. That's what you got to do. That's how you get here. You keep winning. You go through all the battles, and you win. You hang in there and win. That's what makes the veterans. They hang in there and they win. And they win. And they keep hanging in there and keep winning. Now on, that's just the young men. And the young men need to abide now. And again, the young men advancing, going forward, that's how you're going to go. And you fight, and you fight, and you fight, and you fight. And then you get older. And then you become a veteran, you retire, whatever, your war's over. And the veterans. So they're veterans, and the veterans are there. And by the way, I didn't mean to forget, it's a rather awesome thing. At least at the meeting, veterans meeting, they said, we're going to miss it. At 11 o'clock on the 11th day, the 11th month, in all over the country, there's a 21-gun salute everywhere. That includes France and every place there's a cemetery. They're going to have a 21-gun salute all over at 11 o'clock. What do you think of that? When did that ever happen? Wow. Now, therefore, God, here we are looking, and the children need to grow. How are they going to grow? They're going to go to battle, and they're going to keep going. And how are they going to do it? They aren't going to be back off. They're going to be overcomers, and they're going to keep overcoming and overcoming. And what's going to happen? They're going to get old and be overcomers, and they're going to be, like it says in verse 13, I write unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. Now over, turn to 1 John chapter 1, verse 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life, our Lord Jesus Christ. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. And our fellowship, verse 3, our fellowship, the end of the verse, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. John, what are you telling us? Are you a veteran? Absolutely. I'm the last living apostle. You want to know about the Lord? Oh, I don't know. Was he ever real? Yes. I'm telling you, I was there. I'm a veteran. I was there on the battlefield. I was involved. Wow. You don't say, what? No one else. We look around, we don't see. Find somebody that's there that knows. Otherwise, you're talking to people that don't know and just want to talk about it. And that doesn't do much. But tell you what, when you reach the veterans, wow, they tell you about war. Boy, pay attention. Pay attention. Wow. Now, therefore, fathers know God. They know. They've gone through they've been educated by experience. And that's an awesome thing. God, is that what you look for? I do. Is that what you want? It is. Verse 14. I have written unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. And you're going to say it again. That's right. I want you to know. So what are you looking for? To know God. Is that what you're looking for us? What happened to Israel? The people don't know him. And there's no development. There's no counselors. There's no wise politician, people, politic. There's no leaders in battle. No. We lost God. Now, in the light of that, go with me, please, over to the book of Deuteronomy. And let's do it a different way. God, I know what you're looking for, and it's an awesome thing. And history is repeat with it over and over again, that what happens? The nations, people lose. They don't have good leadership. They have bad leadership. People want the wrong things. So therefore, God, here's Israel going to cross the land, going to go across the Jordan into the land. And in the process, God, in the wilderness, just around and around and around for 38 years. But hey, now you're going to go to battle. And therefore, Deuteronomy and chapter 20. So now you guys are going to cross the Jordan after Moses. This is the 40th year. And they're going to cross the Jordan. Therefore, God, you're going to give instructions. I am, because the people are going to go to battle. And that's why they're going to do so well, at least for 7 years. Deuteronomy chapter 20, pick up at verse 1. Now, when thou goest out to battle against thine enemies, and seest horses and chariots and a people more than thou, be not afraid of them, for the Lord thy God is with thee, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. So you're going to have huge opposition, as the sand of the sea sometime, it seems. And chariots of iron and multitudes of warriors, giants, you're going to have them. Now, in the light of that, verse 2, and it shall be when you are come nigh unto the battle that the priest shall approach and speak unto the people. Now, here comes the big army in front. You've got to go against them. Now, what kind of weapons do we have? What do we have in our hands? A sword, a bow or something, javelin. Here we are, looking at the enemy with the chariots of iron and everything else, giants to boot. There they are. Now, God, how do we fight? How do you choose to make us veterans? Verse 3. Say unto them, Hear, O Israel, ye approach this day unto battle against your enemies. Let not your hearts faint. Fear not, do not tremble, neither be terrified because of them. But why not? What's the priest instructing them on how to win? Verse 4, For the Lord your God is he that goeth with you to fight for you against your enemies to save you. Now, having said that, keeping that in mind. And verse 5, And the officers shall speak unto the people, saying, What man is there that hath built a new house, and hath left and hath not dedicated it? Let him go and return to his house, lest he in the battle and another man dedicate it. Now, you're going to have to go to battle, and I want you to know, you're going to go, and if your possessions, new house, everything, now you tell that man to stay home. Why? Because when the battle comes, he's divided in his mind about fighting and taking care of his everything that he's getting. I got a divided mind. You don't want that, God? Nope. You tell that man to go to his house. Tell that man to take his possessions. That's what's important to him, his job, his work, his home. You go tell him to do that. Now, next thing, verse 6. And what man is he that hath planted a vineyard and hath not yet eaten of it? Let him also go and return unto his house, lest he die in the battle, and another man eat of it. Another man, he never gets, he worked at getting his field, his plant, every produce, and let him go. So therefore, because of your occupation, you're, after all, you've been training, you took years in school for this and trained for that, and you've been training and you have all this experience and you got your new job and you got and your future lies ahead of you. Yay! Tell that man to stay home. He's divided. He's going to be divided. Tell him to stay home. Boy, keep going. Verse 7. And what man is there that hath betrothed his wife, a wife, and hath not taken her? Let him go and return unto his house, lest he in the battle and another man take her. In other words, all the things that you're working at and that mean so much to you, you're going to lose them. You'll never have them. And they're important to you. And when you're there, what's happening at home to my house? What's happening to my field? What's happening to my wife? There we are. So therefore, because of our possessions, because of our occupation, because of our relationships. Remember our Lord said it, you know all these things without turning there. I've got to go home and bury my father. Don't bother following me. Don't bother. Hang on. Don't bother. God, what are you doing? I'm trying to help you understand what I'm looking for. Now, over if you would please, in verse 8. And the officers shall speak further unto the people, and they shall say, what man is there that hath a fearful and is fearful and faint-hearted? Let him go and return unto his house, lest his brethren's heart faint, as well as his heart. His heart, brethren's heart faint, as well as his heart. In other words, you're going to spread the problem. Faint-hearted, you're going to be. Well, boy, we can't look at what they have, and what are you going to do? That's what. Remember now, Joshua. Think of Joshua. They had all of that. Do you remember what they did? They all said, wow, look at the chariots and the giants. And they turned around and ran. No, they didn't. They didn't. God was there and they were trusting him. And what did they do? They went forward and defeated the whole thing. 33 kings. They beat them and their armies. Wow. And they're just what? Slaves out of Egypt, 40 years in the wilderness. What military school did you go to in the wilderness? None. God has to be there. What's the priest going to say? You need to look to God. And that's what you're going to do. And if you don't look to God, it isn't going to work. Well, each of us in the light of our possessions and our occupation, our relationships, we're being fearful and hesitant in all of it, and we just don't, maybe we won't work, maybe, what if, what about? And nothing's going to happen. Nothing's going to happen. So in each case, he was free, the person was free to choose. Ease or hardship, security or danger. Take your choice. Between everything that is attractive and blood, sweat, and tears, which you're going to take? God, that's what you're looking for. I am. I want to know if someone's going to follow me. That's what I want to know. But we talk about it. No, I don't want to know that. Do you remember what Gideon did? Remember Gideon? Judges. Gideon had what? 32,000 men. That's pretty good, isn't it? Now what did God do? He looked and Gideon said, yay, look at my troops. And God said, if you don't mind, I'm going to cut it down to 300. 32,000 to 300. And I'm going to win. And what are you going to do? We're going to break a light, make a noise. Yeah. That's how you're going to win. You work on my terms. And I want someone who's going to work on my terms. I don't need them with all these divided about. I do this a little bit, but then this a little bit, and this a little bit. I'm looking for some kind of commitment to me, said God. Have you ever changed it? No. No. How do you know that? All you got to do is look at our world. Find me. Men and women for them. Boy, is it hard, isn't it? It's hard. Because we don't do that. It's very costly. Why can't I have my family and my children and everything and plus this? Because it doesn't work that way. Hang on. Put it together. It doesn't work that way. No. In fact, just in case it doesn't, when you put me first, remember the apostles said, disciples said, we have committed all to follow you. We've left. They walked away. How did they leave? They dropped their fishing net, never went home to tell their wife, never did anything. They just went, dropped everything and followed him. What kind of thing is that? I want to see commitment. But a little bit. No, it won't. Show me it. It isn't going to be out here, anywhere. It isn't there. So God, what are you going to do? And the Lord said to them, to encourage them, if you honor me, I'll take care of everything 100 times over in your life. 100 times over in your life. And all the things that would be that you'd worry and want about are not going to be found because you're trusting me. And the battle isn't yours. It's mine. It's my battle. You're my wonderful instrument that I'm going to use in a most awesome way. But you want anything? No, no. The jawbone of an ass isn't anything either. Breaking a pot with the light, what does that do to win? Nothing, except God is looking for what? Your heart. And when God sees your heart, you become a winner. You become an overcomer. And you keep growing and growing and growing and growing and growing and growing. Wow. That's what happens. God, that's an awesome thing. That's right. And I want you to know. I want you to know that's what I do. Over, if you would, to 1 Corinthians. The Apostle Paul. The veterans. We need veterans. Veterans are good. They have a wonderful purpose to encourage, to strengthen, to take care of one another, etc., etc., etc. 1 Corinthians in chapter 9. And the Apostle Paul, help us. If I can, the Apostle. You know, you have to want to be on the field. Now, you have to want to go. Punishment. Think of sports. Some sports are tougher than others. And you're out there, and you're going to get beat up. Could break your leg, concussion, anything. But you want to play the game. You want to be in the game. That's what you want to be. Ah. All those things could happen, but that doesn't bother you. Paul, are you, what, why Paul? Paul, you were willing to go and kill all the Christians, imprison them, and everything. That's what he was doing. He was a hunter of Christians. Wow. Paul, you are one aggressive guy. God said you got to get your act straight. You're on the wrong side. Now, Paul, when you turned around, did you say, oh boy, retirement, home, relaxed, no more? Nope, he didn't say that. He said, 1 Corinthians 9, about his wonderful relationship to God. Verse 26. I therefore so run, not as uncertainty, certainly. So fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. I don't want to tell you anything that I'm not doing. I'm a veteran. I'm in the battlefield. That's why Paul will say in 1 Corinthians 11:1, follow me as I, what? Follow Christ. Can they say that about you? Follow me as I follow Christ. Veterans. We need veterans. Believers, overcomers, little children, forgiven, overcoming, and they know God. And you follow them. Veterans Day. To give us all the benefits. What benefits would we have, John, if you weren't willing to be a penman for God to write Revelation and John? We wouldn't have it. You were willing to do it. At what cost? It cost you. It did. It did, said John. The Isle of Patmos and all that. I did. But it's all right. It's all right. It's worth it. Paul said, I don't want to be a castaway. I don't want to be put on the shelf. I want to be in the field. I want to be in the battle. So that, Paul, you can be a wonderful example to us. And he is. Of all the different, line them up, David and all of them. Apostle Paul certainly is outstanding. Being an example of hanging in there. Snake bites and everything else. Shipwrecked. Stonings. And you still, Paul, you're there, you are. Right. Right. Boy, that's an awesome thing. Now, therefore, in the light of God's wonderful, wonderful working, in God's wonderful care, in all that he does. Now, so God, here we are looking, and we are going to go and look to you. Going to go, God, in the light of our priorities. What is our priority? Is it about, no, God, if I go and do that, then what about my family? What about this? What about that? No. God, are you able to take care of all the details? I am. So when I, using different illustration, when I sent them out to represent me into the streets and villages of Palestine, did I send them out with an extra pair of shoes? Shoes? Did I send them out with any money? Did I send them out with anything? No. God, did you take care of them? Absolutely. And then God, the Lord asked them at the end, did you guys lack anything when you honored me? The answer is nothing. Now, God, how can we honor you? My wife, my kids, all those illustrations, you know them. I've had them, you had them growing up and all of that. I can remember once all the different things that glass broke all over in the living room over here. And in the process, here's the little kids' time, whatever. Now, God, how are we going to, God, are you able to keep them from here to there? Aha, I am. God, can you take care of us? Absolutely. God, you do everything so wonderful. That's correct. What I do. I told you I'd watch over everything. It's when you honor me. When you want to help people and your children and your wife and your husband, honor me. Now, I'm not going to go against their will, but I'm going to show them mercy and grace because of your heart. And that's what I'm going to do. So, God, I want to help my family. I can't. But, God, what are you looking for? You aren't looking to make everything miserable. No. No, I'm trying to help you understand. If you leave light out, you're left in darkness. If you have no good, you're left with badness. You have nothing. You can't do it without me. God, I got to include you. That's correct. That's what Israel did not do. And the church ultimately, after 100 AD, went downhill even faster. Wow, because they didn't honor you. No, they didn't. And they should have honored you. Now, therefore, in closing, if you would, over to 2 Timothy. A little word that you want to note. 2 Timothy chapter 2, directly verse 21. If a man therefore purge himself from these, as we read in the context, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, set apart, and meet for the master's use. Do you see the word meet and use? That's one word. Meet, use. Easily used. Easily used. Serviceable. I'm looking for somebody that's serviceable. I want somebody that I can easily use. If I have to go to a big hassle every time I want something, I don't want to do it. Go home. Go take care of your garden. Go do what you want. I don't need you. I'm looking for somebody that is serviceable. Meet a vessel fit for the master's use. That's what I want. I'm looking for that. But then you won't find me. You won't. Veterans. You won't become a veteran. You want an overcomer. Not you guys, girls. But we're working at it. That's what has to happen. That's right. Vessel fit for the master's use. God, that's what you want. It is. If I have to think of Psalm 32 and all that, don't be as a horse or a mule, which has you have to put a bit and bridle in to get him to move. I don't want to have to do that to you. If that's what I got to do to get you, break your arm, get some problem, then you wake up, then you're going to serve me. Then you, oh God, do this and I'll do that. No, it's not that kind of deal. You honor me with all your heart, all the time. That's the reason you do anything. That's the reason you marry, you take care of your marriage, do all the business, work, home, school, because of that. And therefore, in closing, 2 Corinthians. God, here we are, looking to you. And God, we're just us. We aren't in the battlefield. We aren't in the trenches of Korea, Vietnam, Gulf War. We aren't there. We're just us. Here we are in this our country with all of its turmoil. Not going to go away. Socialism, communism, big time. And it isn't going to quit. No quit. No quitting. No, there's nothing to do with morals or rightness or fairness. Communists aren't fair. Communists just want to win at any cost. Lying, cheating, twisting, turning, any old way you wish, as long as we win, as long as we get what we're after. Now, so therefore, 2 Corinthians, God, here we are, just us. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, and may I go directly to verse 3. Blessed be the God and even our Father, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, the God of all comfort. God, are you going to be able to help us? I'm going to go, little children, thank God for being forgiven. Going to go to battle, all kinds of little battles. Let the little kids grow up. Let them struggle through everything. That's how you learn. You don't have to fight 50. When you're 5 years old, you don't have to fight 15-year-olds. You work with 5-year-olds. And then you work with 6-year-olds. And you work right through and hang in there. And then you come 20-year-olds, etc. And you fight your way through. And you grow up. You battled. You won. You had to stand for something, do something, and you did it. You went and did it. Wow. That's what you're looking for, God. That's correct. I'm looking for that, to be the man, a woman, boy, or girl like that. Well, what about my... No, it isn't about you. It's about God, about his wonderful will and purpose, which outweighs, outranks everything. Therefore, the God of all comfort, verse 4, who comforts us in all our tribulation. God, you're going to let us go through whatever to grow up. And we're going to be veterans. Yeah, veterans. Veterans. We're going to know. The young people don't know. Young men don't know. Old people do. And if nothing else, us older people know what? How not to do things. I'll tell you what not to do. If you want to make it, I'll tell you what not to do. I tell people, nothing wrong with what I'm doing. Wrong, it's not going to come out. Not going to come out, I'm telling you now. But I'm going to go and grow and know. No, you aren't. It's against the rules. Against God's wonderful program. You're violating it. And you're asking God to violate his word to honor your will and wish and whim? Come on. It doesn't work that way. So he's the God of all comfort. Therefore, in World War I, as they were about to go engage in battle, the Germans, engage the Germans in that. And in the process, and the colonel was there, the group was ready to go out to battle, and the colonel asked the young officer to go forward and try to be an encouragement, which he did. And he went forward and tried to be humorous and helpful and encouraging, and he did all of that. He did that to this great group of men, people. And then, all of a sudden, out of nowhere, a whole different tone. And he said this, "We are soon crossing into France and the trenches, and very possibly, of course, to death. Will any of our friends here tell us how to die? Will anyone tell us how to die in war?" And then a lady in the group of singers stepped forward. It was there. She stepped forward into the front and began singing the aria of Elijah. That melody, the main movement of music, the mood. And what did she sing? What did she sing from Elijah? "Rest in the Lord." If you ever read it, "Rest in the Lord." And it said, there was not a dry eye. They needed to understand. Going out to battle, even to death, rest in the Lord. Think of Psalm 37. Rest in the Lord. Rest in the Lord. Into good. Rest in the Lord. And the word rest, remember that. Psalm 37. Rest in the Lord. To be still as a stone. To be still as a stone. And go. Wow. Our Father and God, we thank you for a little bit and help us to understand a little bit, God, of what you're at. God, we don't want the system. We don't want the movement, God, that corrupts and spoils everything that you have in mind. And we get all tied up in life and children and family and marriage and coming and going and work and home. And God, like just like Israel, just like Gideon's army, God, we get all tied up in all kinds of stuff. And God, we end up losing you in the middle of it. And we put you in the right, we give you a place, but we give everything else a place. God, you're at the center, always. And when everything, work, home, school, play, coming, going, easy, hard, much, health, wealth, God, it ends up looking to you for your goodwill to be outworked in all of these things, that we become a veteran, an experienced believer, that has grown and hung in there, and times and times when we should have, could have backed down, backed off, and tolerated and and approved of that which we didn't need to. God, we wanted to be strong and straight. People will do what they do, say what they say, etc. But God, as for us, as for me and my heart, as for we and our heart, God, help us to understand a little bit that you're first, that you're second, that you're third. God, you're always up front, and no one and nothing takes your place. And our God, we thank you. So deal with us. Thank you for the veterans. Thank you for all the celebration. May many people consider the cemeteries and all of the what we have in our country and why we have it. And our God, we're going to thank you very, very, very much. In Christ's name, amen.